tasya api drashtur ishasya kutasasya akila atmanha shridyam shrijami hristoham ikshayaiva vichoditaha. So, of course, this third line is this acoustically very sweet. Srijyam srijami sristoham. Yeah. And besides that, it probably has a lot of very deep meaning. You know, people who know the Srimad Bhagavatam and know Sanskrit poetry and even know world literature, they comment that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Puranas are compared to stars in the sky, the clear sky, and they look very beautiful until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. And there's just no comparison. You know? Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself for the beauty of the poetry and also the depth of the philosophy and the sophistication of the Sanskrit grammar. So if we can't always follow the grammar, it's no not amazing. The Mahabharata is supposed to have, no, Ramayana is supposed to have the simplest, like, conversational level Sanskrit. Then the Mahabharata becomes a little bit more sophisticated, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, this, you know, surpasses so many things. So if we go ahead to, also on that slide number two, it says tasya, so his, and it's a pronoun reference. Let's go to slide four. And then we have the actual verse translated. And Prabhupada translates it as, inspired by him only, I discover what is already created by him, Narayan. Because the last two verses have been, of course, Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paramakaha, like that. Yeah. Inspired by him only, I discover what is already created by him, Narayan, under his vision as the all-pervading Supersoul. And I also am created by him only. Hmm. So we go then. And then what I did here is I then just tried to break it up, you know, because why? Sometimes I think the translations are a little, they're dense, they're very concentrated. And Prabhupada is maybe even kind of following a Sanskrit or a Hindi grammar, you know, which is a little different than our English grammar. And if he did the translations, then the devotees who were editing it may not have, you know, put it into like a more like English type grammar, which I think he wanted. You know, he asked that it be edited into common, like I said, university level English. So the purports, his grammar was edited, I think at his request, you know. Yeah. So anyway, looking at the translation here in text number five, we have inspired by him only, which is abhichoditaha. And of course, the idea is in Sanskrit, you start at the back and go forward many times. Inspired by him only, abhichoditaha, I discover, shrajami, what is already created by him, Srijam, under his vision, tasyapi drastu, tasyapi drastu, as the all-pervading Supersoul, Akila Atma, and I also am created by him only, Shrista Aham Ikshaya Eva. And if you push the button, something will pop up here. There it is, okay. Ishashya kutasta, that doesn't actually occur in the translation, of the controller over everyone's intelligence. Yeah. Maybe it's by him only inspired, you know. Ishashya kutastasya, of the controller over everyone's intelligence. Okay. Maybe inspired by him only is the part of that only. Okay, but anyway, so we see the Prabhupada's how Prabhupada is translating, you know, the very, very concentrated Sanskrit phrases of Lord Brahma. As we look at the prayers by different demigods and Prahlad and ladies and Brahma, in our experience, the prayers by Brahma are always, you know, kind of like very intellectual, like that compared to others. So, of course, now Brahma is talking to Narada. Let's go ahead then, slide 6, see what we have here. Okay. Yeah. And if you look at the last two verses, of course, also they're very poetical also. We can all chant together. Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayanan Gajaha Narayana Paraloka Narayana Paramakaha Narayana Paro Yogo Narayana Param Tapa Narayana Param Jnanam Narayanam Paragatahi. Now, you should look at way, way back in the first canto, the second chapter, where the whole thing starts, the whole basically Srimad Bhagavatam, and Suda Goswami is presenting it. Of course, he's the last person to hear it before us, you know. And in text number 1, 2, 28 to 29, after making kind of a similar explanation to the sages of that Namasharanya, he says, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramakaha, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva Parakriyaha, Vasudeva Param Janam, Vasudeva Param Tapaha, Vasudeva Paro Dharmo, Vasudeva Paragatihi. Yeah. So similar. Yeah. And the purports there, as we notice, Prabhupada takes each word, you know, Veda, Loka, Maka, Yoga, Gati, and discusses it in detail. And I was kind of feeling that in these verses it wasn't discussed in detail, but maybe that's why, because it's already been discussed and it's expected we will have learned that. So, if we go on then, with this perspective to slide number 7, then also I just wanted to make a couple comments about the previous classes here. First off, we wanted to say that Narahari Das's classes was very helpful to us, inspiring for us, because he was citing, you know, so many essential verses and a chance for us to meditate on those and try to refresh them and try and learn them and try to become as scholarly as he is. The other point was that there was this topic of how the eternal life of bliss and knowledge is progressively realized in the upper planets. You know? And yeah, it was shocking to me too, because usually we talk about the upper planets being, you know, full of sense gratification and that kind of stuff. But then I was thinking about it. And that's, you know, Gandharva Loka, and above that, Indra Loka. So Indra Loka and Gandharva Loka more so, there's all kinds of sense gratification, you know. One place apparently it says, imagine a young man with dozens of beautiful, affectionate wives, with lands to the horizon, with cows, thousands of cows, with prestige and influence, knowledge, full of Vedic knowledge. Imagine how much that man is enjoying in this world. Then it says, multiply that by 1,000 times. I think it's 1,000, not 100. And you have the standard of enjoyment on the next highest planetary system. And I think it's Gandharva Loka, which is where the fairies live, or they translate as fairies, which is very interesting because in the histories of King Arthur, the fairies are headed by Morgan Le Fay, and they live on a floating island above the earth, like that, Avalon. You know, so there's a lot of these, you know, Vedic traditions come down through different sources. So okay, so it's sense gratification, but everybody is, you know, following pious ritual activities. They are sakam devotees. They're doing it because they want something, you know, but still they're doing it, and that's a kind of surrender. And because we become more transparent than the Satchitananda atmosphere starts to come through. We start to see it. You know, for example, we don't expect to find a discount cigarette and tobacco store, cigarette and liquor store in Interloca. Cheap cigarettes by the carton and Fisher's beer, you know. No, because they're enjoying, you know, more subtle sense gratification, and they're doing it in a very religious fashion, you know. And then probably even talks about going higher, because it'd be above that then is actually, you know, is Maharloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka. And there's no material distress, only a distress from sympathy for those who are on the lower planets and start to enjoy, you know, very subtle, fine pleasures that, you know, of course, reflect the Vaikuntha atmosphere more and more. The Thalia Prabhu says in Brahmaloka, one can actually get the option of going to the eternal Satchitananda atmosphere, you know. So a variety of things, you know, but I was just thinking, yeah, it could be that, yeah, they are manifest to some degree, you know, and as you go higher, and the idea is basically to go like that and leave the material world. That's the normal course. Okay, that was thoughts we had. So text number, slide number 8, then is today's purport in this perspective. Even Brahma, the creator of the universe, admits that he is not actually the creator, but is simply inspired by the Lord, Narayan. Yeah, okay. What we got here? And therefore creates under his superintendence those things already created by him, the super soul of all living entities. Two identities of a soul, the super soul and the individual soul, are admitted to be living in the living entity. Even the greatest authority of the universe, by the greatest authority of the universe. The super soul is the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, whereas the individual soul is the eternal servitor of the Lord. So it's kind of a very, you know, basic anti-Mayavadi, anti-Nirvishesha Shunyavad, anti-Nirvisheshavad declaration. The Prabhupada's, you know, drawing that conclusion from Lord Brahma's statements like that. You know, because that's Lord Prabhupada's mission. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine. So in the very beginning, no. There's two souls like that. And one is the creator, and we are a secondary discoverer. Okay, slide number 9. Abhichoditaha srijami srijam. Now then Prabhupada starts to talk directly about the words in the purport. The Lord inspires abhichoditaha, the individual soul, to create, srijami, what is already created by the Lord, srijam. And by the goodwill of the Lord, a discoverer of something in the world is accredited as the discoverer. It is said that Columbus discovered the Western Hemisphere, but actually the tract of land was not created by Columbus. The vast tract of land was already there by the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, and Columbus, by dint of his past service unto the Lord, was blessed with the credit of discovering America. So someone pointed that out, that phrase out to me, by dint of his past service unto the Lord. So it's a very curious thing. Like, was there some particular specific service that, you know, Columbus did, which allowed him to get this award like that? Next slide, please, number 10. Then Prabhupada expands this just from the content of the purport here with Lord Brahma and with the example of Columbus, and now he's talking about how this applies to everybody. Similarly, no one can create anything without the sanction of the Lord, since everyone sees according to his ability. This ability is also awarded by the Lord. So you push your button there, something interesting will happen in the animations. The phrase, this ability is also awarded by the Lord, spins around, and a little box appears in the side. It says, this ability is also awarded by the Lord. And that is, now we have the Ishasha Kutastasha showing up. Okay. It wasn't there in the translation, but now it's probably talking about it. Of the controller over everyone's intelligence. So here it looks like Prabhupada's translating intelligence as ability. Since everyone sees according to his intelligence, this intelligence is awarded by the Lord. Okay, we have some understanding of things. We have some ability. You know? Yeah. That makes more sense to me than ability. You know, it's more to create something, but they're related. If you have the intelligence to do it, then you do it. Like a Marconi or what's the American guy? Thomas Edison and many things. Of course. So everyone's ability is awarded by the Lord according to one's willingness to render service unto the Lord. One must therefore be voluntarily willing to render service unto the Lord, and thus the Lord will empower the doer in proportion to his surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. This reminds us because, you know, being rascals that we are, we so many times are envious of other people's qualities, or you know, or jealous, maybe jealous more than envious. And one place we were struck by a purport where Prabhupada says, if we don't offer respects to anybody because of their intelligence, beauty, strength, fame, possessions, creations, then even if they're a demon, then Krishna won't be happy with us because Krishna awarded those. So we see it in proportion. Ravana got, certain things. So he was surrendered. He did do service to his superior in some way, maybe more than us. So we should be respectful to everybody. I should learn to do that and appreciate that, people have these things because Krishna awarded them. But within the perspective, what are they actually getting? Like Ravana got something, but it wasn't very complete. One must therefore be voluntarily willing to render service unto the Lord, and thus the Lord will empower the doer in proportion to his surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Next slide, please. Number 11. Lord Brahma is a great devotee of the Lord, and therefore he has been empowered or inspired by the Lord to create such a universe as the one manifested before us. The Lord also inspired Arjuna to fight in the field of Kurukshetra as follows. So maybe someday we'll finish our temple of understanding in Mayapur, and so many guests will be coming, and devotees will be very, very proud of what they've created. Somebody will ask one of the guests, so isn't this very, very wonderful? This temple of understanding, you've created this. And he said, yes, it's very wonderful. You've done a great job. And they asked him, what do you do? He said, well, I'm also a little bit of an engineer. Well, who are you? Well, I'm Lord Brahma. Okay. So what is Sridharmayapur temple or the Hawaii temple, in comparison to Lord Brahma's creation of the entire universe, So it's not surprising that Narada Muni has a little bit of inclination to think that maybe Lord Brahma is God, considering the actual size of his creation, which such fools wouldn't really appreciate, how powerful and big Brahma is, Okay, and so Arjuna was also inspired to fight in the field of Kurukshetra. Tasma tvam utishta yasho labashva jitva shatrum bunkshva rajam samridham mayai vaite nihi nihatha porvam eva nimita matram bhavasadya sachin. chapter 11, which of course is the universal form. Next slide, please. Number 12. Okay. The battle of Kurukshetra, or any other battle at any place or at any time, is made by the will of the Lord. Amazing, huh? Maybe somebody else there is a, you know, a history fellow, that kind of mundane history. But there's the battle of, you know, when Hannibal, last battle before he came to Rome with Hannibal, when he surrounded, I think he had like maybe like he had like, I don't know, 18,000 soldiers or something. The Romans had like 40,000 or something. You know, it was, you know, a really bad situation. But he used a strategy which has become a super, super classic in the military strategy since then. And by the end of the day, he killed all 40,000 Roman soldiers, officers, sergeants, generals, everybody were dead like that, you know. And he said, nobody, not even Alexander, has done such a thing. And of course, Alexander was very famous, too, for his battles, you know. And on it goes like that. And it's the distance is kind of nice if you're playing chess, but if you're actually there, it's not nice. And how can this all happen? Alexander wasn't satisfied. Hannibal wasn't satisfied. Yeah. Dwight David Eisenhower hated war. Yeah. Because it's all happening by the will of the Lord. That the people that are there deserve it. We deserve it. My God. Okay. Yeah. If we can just accept that. So, for no one can arrange such mass annihilation without the sanction of the Lord. The party of Duryodhana insulted Draupadi, a great devotee of Krishna. And she appealed to the Lord, as well as to all the silent observers, of this unwarranted insult. Arjuna was then advised by the Lord to take credit to fight. So Arjuna was advised by the Lord to fight and take credit. Otherwise, the party of Duryodhana would be killed anyway by the will of the Lord. So Arjuna was advised just to become the agent and take the credit for killing great generals like Bhishma and Karna, who said nothing in Draupadi's defense. They should have like that. Yeah. So Krishna didn't say anything. He was using Draupadi in the situation to bring everybody together, to really bring all the contamination out, to make the lesson obvious. So even Duryodhana understood the lesson, you know, when it was all finished. It's interesting to me that Prabhupada has quoted Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita twice. You know, he says one place that our movement is very sound because it is based upon Bhagavad Gita. And of course, here he's basing it on the Mahabharata also. Next slide, please. Slide 13 with a tiger. In the Vedic writings, such as Katha Upanishad, the Lord is described as Sarva Bhuta Antaratma, or the personality of Godhead who resides in everybody's body. Sarva Bhuta Antaratma. Sarva all. Bhuta means like living entities, I think, no? And antar means interior, and atma means self, okay? Yeah. In the Katha Upanishad, Lord is described as Sarva Bhuta Atma, and who directs everything for one who is a surrendered soul, surrendered unto him. Those who are not surrendered souls are put under the care of the material nature. Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yanta Rudrani Mayaya, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Yeah. So we can be under the control of the Sarvabhuta Antaratma, or the Bahiranga, the Maya, Mayaya, yeah. Maya. Yeah. Therefore, they are allowed to do things on their own account and suffer the consequences themselves. So you can do things and you can become a tiger. And the tigers have worms in their intestines, they have fleas, you know, and nobody's running into their mouth, so sometimes they have to go days, you know, without eating. And actually, really, to kill another creature like that, you almost have to be crazy with hunger, you know, like that, you know. So it's not really a happy life. You suffer the consequences for becoming a tiger. And slide 14 of 21. Devotees like Brahma and Arjuna do not do anything on their own account. Yes? Yeah. But as fully surrendered souls, they always await indications from the Lord. Therefore, they attempt to do something which appears very wonderful to ordinary vision. So we have a picture of Hanuman, Hanuman Prashak Das, setting fire to all of Lanka and harassing all of Ravana, Ravana's followers, which was very wonderful to ordinary vision. And then slide 15, one of the Lord's names is Urukram, or one whose actions are very wonderful and beyond the imagination of the living being, soul. The actions of his devotees sometimes appear very wonderful due to the direction of the Lord, Urukram. Beginning from Brahma, the topmost intelligent living being within the universe, down to the smallest ant, every living entity's intelligence is overseen by the Lord in his transcendental position as the witness of all actions. The subtle presence of the Lord is felt by the intelligent man who can study the psychic effects of thinking, feeling, and willing. And that's the end of the purport. And Prabhupada kind of finishes it off with an enigmatic phrase. And I was just thinking, actually, that may be an introduction to the next verse. Yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yeah. So an intelligent man is Buddha. Buddha. Buddha is an intelligent man. And Buddha says, you know, don't be absorbed in your sense objects, the senses, or even the mind. And so, of course, the mind is what thinks, feels, and wills. Feeling we take as emotion, but actually the way it's being used here is evaluation. We think about something, and then we accept it, or we reject it, okay? And then once we accept it or reject it, then we will to avoid it or to approach it, you know? So that's the mind. The mind doesn't have any intelligence. The mind is just like a robot, a CPU on a computer. Yeah. So an intelligent man, somebody who's on the intellectual platform like that, you know, Socrates, maybe Confucius, although he ate a lot of meat. Yeah. They can see the mind. You know, Descartes, very famous phrase, cogito ergo sum. Let's go to the next slide here, number 16. And then we have a very intelligent fellow. The subtle presence of the Lord is felt by the intelligent man who can study the psychic effects of thinking, feeling, and willing. And if you can't see it, we found a very, very intelligent chimpanzee who was thinking this last phrase, I guess maybe that's like us, and trying to understand what it means. Yeah. So Descartes' famous phrase was cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. Because he was sitting and looking at his fire in his fireplace. I'm not the fireplace. I'm not the eyes. Oh, okay. Oh, I am the thoughts. You know, I am the essence of what makes me exist is my thoughts. You know, cogito, cognition. Mm-hmm. So was he coming to the, you know, to the platform of a gyani like that, Janamaya? Yeah. Or was he still on the monodharma? At least he was kind of aware of his thoughts, but he was still closely identifying with them as being his life. You know? So somebody who can study the psychic effects of thinking and feeling and willing is a very detached person. You know? And on that level, you know, then we can begin to see that, that there must be a Paramatma. There's one famous verse, and I've forgotten where it is, maybe first or second canto here, where Prabhupada goes through this Sankhya Yoga. You know, the Ishtanga Yoga means like these, you know, sitting postures, all these things. The Jnana Yoga means like what we're doing now, like just, you know, talking about it, analyzing it, considering it seriously, and then just dividing it all up. And then we see, you know. So by doing this Sankhya, we see that, yeah, I'm not supplying the automobiles. I'm looking out the window now, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 moving automobiles. There's so many more parked over at Toots for lunch. Yeah. And I'm not creating them, you know. Yeah. So if we get back to the intelligent level, then we can also come to this realization, hey, I'm not creating these thoughts. I'm not thinking. And so maybe somebody realizes that. Other than that, when the thought comes, he thinks that he thought that. I thought that. And therefore, you know, he identifies with the thought. He identifies with the reaction of the mind, accepting, rejecting, you know. And he identifies with the will. I will have that cake, you know. Yeah. But somebody else realizes, no, that thought came. I don't want to think about that. There's a nice Theosophical Society bumper sticker which says, meditation is not what you think. Think about it. Yeah. Meditation is not what you think. At least they came to that platform. But that's just Jnanamaya. And beyond that, of course, is Anandamaya, and Anandamaya has so many varieties. So let's go ahead here to slide 17, see what we have. Oh, okay. We have a nice kind of Buddhist temple in the Himalaya Mountains. And let's go inside, slide number 18. Whoop! We're walking down one of the columns now. If you've got the graphics here, it's nice. Under a banyan tree. Let's go a little more. Whoop, whoop. Next slide. And number 19, oh, so inside the temple is the Buddha. Like that. So Buddha, it's really mystical, and you can really get caught on this level, you know, of being Lord Brahma, you know, being Buddha, and just on the intellectual platform, the Bodhi platform, you know. And it's almost inconceivable pleasures of the mind. It's when Nobel laureate was talking about that. The almost inconceivable pleasures of the mind. Once we're aware of that, then we realize this is still a reflection of the Satchitananda atmosphere. And we have to go beyond that to the Paramatma, you know, who's supplying all this. And after the Paramatma, Narayana, you know, we have to go to, you know, Mahavishnu, Lila Avatars, Sankarsan, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, Ras Dance, and Radhakund. So, if you want to render service in the banks of Radhakund, which is the most elevated, you know, thing we can achieve by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we have a long way to go. Next slide, number 20, which brings us right to this point. The point that we were thinking about this, it says, devotees like Brahma and Arjuna, Prabhupada said the purport, remember, do not do anything on their own account. But as fully surrendered souls, they await indications from the Lord. Therefore, they attempt to do something which appears very wonderful to ordinary vision. So we have a picture of a little girl here in Russia who wanted her book signed by the big, terrifying sannyasi, myself. So it was very, very cute, you know. She approached me, and you can tell she was, you know, kind of terrified that I would eat her or something, you know. She wanted her book signed by me. And then there's a picture of one Mataji who had been a Russian book distributor for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And so she's doing this, you know, all these wonderful things. You know, people just can't imagine how devotees, you know, do book distribution and everything else. So what my thought was, you know, it's a little challenge here. Actually, everybody who's listening, you know, are you purified enough to feel the indications of the Lord in your life? Sometimes it's not an indication. It's a sledgehammer on the head. Hey, stupid, do this. Yes, sir. And experiences, you know, I understand. Yeah, it's about time, you know. Another time is just a little sidelong glance, or, you know, something like this and that, you know. And a little confirmation to make sure we're not concocting, you know, something. And then we try to do it. You know, we try to do it. We chant Jai Shri Ram and jump to Lanka, you know, without, you know, preparing our backpack, our field pack, or getting a dossier on Robin or anything else. If we just say Jai Ram and jump. Yeah. Okay. So in our lives, you know, we're focusing on Upadeshamrita in our own background, and it's a summary of our whole philosophy. So the conclusion is pretty much the highest thing that that Lord Chaitanya is offering is Radharani's feelings of love of Krishna in separation. Ramananda Roy was going to describe something higher, but at that point Lord Chaitanya covered his mouth. So maybe he was going to describe Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya is even higher than Radha. But we don't know. He covered his mouth. Or maybe something higher that Radharani feels. Yeah? But as far as revealed knowledge in the conversations of Ramananda Roy and Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, you know, to find a place to participate in the service at Radha Kund. You know, Radha Kund is like the ultimate Disneyland, like that. Disneyland of the spiritual world. It's the ultimate amusement park, you know, with all these different rides like Top Gun, the Big Bad Wolf. You know, I have all these unbelievable, I don't know how much it is, you pay like $50 for to be tortured, for, you know, for 5 minutes on these things. I haven't taken it yet. I took a little one, I almost died, yeah. Top Gun or something, maybe like 20 people are 4 wide, 5 long on the thing, and you all get in there lying down, you know, holding onto something. And the whole thing takes off, and maybe you'll go, slowly go to the top, and you'll drop like, you know, 5-story drop, like that, straight down almost. And people in front of you, I guess, vomiting, you know. So the first guy vomits as to the experience. You hit the bottom and go back up and do a full thing this way on your back and everything else, you know. So Radha Kund is like that. It's Kalola Magna Muhur. The Goswamis were drowning in the ebb and the flood of the gopis' love for Krishna. Yeah. So we want not for our satisfaction, because that's what Krishna likes the most. He has a lot of other things to do. He has to come to the material world to take care of people. He has to expand himself, you know. But when he gets a break, he likes to go off and sneak off from Jatila and everybody else and meet the gopis and play at Radha Kund, you know, whatever they're doing there with their Legos or whatever they have going on. So but it takes a lot of work to maintain a place like that, you know. So what kind of service aspiration do we have? You know, maybe something is practical too, you know, to be able to reduce our sleep by getting a little bit more purified eating, and more intense stimulation from the higher holy names, you know, more pure life. Okay, that's the end of our slideshow here, 21. Thank you, AGTSP, www.jairam.us. So any complaints, comments, suggestions, Hare Krishna.
Okay, Maharaj, I have unmuted everybody. Thank you for a very nice class, giving us a real understanding of the verse and the purport. Anyone have any questions or comments?
Maharaj, I was thinking, could you connect like 15:15 from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness to the perception of the subtle presence of Krishna?
Probably, but it would probably take a little time of contemplating the whole thing. But I think you know, Yeshua's suggestion is there, you know, Vedaisa does go. Sabasha Chaham Hridi Sani Disto. Hridi means the intelligence, the Buddhi. Mata Smitir Jnanam. Pratyam Jnanam, which also means the intelligence like that too. Apohanam Cha. Yeah. So that's a little bit more, because what I was talking about, I think, was more is how Krishna is logically, the hand of Krishna is there in the mind. You can see the hand of God, but by the fact that thoughts are coming and the mind is doing these things, there must be somebody. It's what Prabhupada says in the purport, other purport. There must be somebody who's supplying these thoughts, you know. So therefore, there must be another soul besides me, like that, you know. And you know, I would say then that if we don't want to, what happens is that, for example, like, what is it? What's the beer? I'm not a good expert. There's Budweiser or something, you know. They have some really interesting advertisements. Really interesting. Spuds McKenzie was the guru. He's called the guru. He's called the guru of good times. He's a dog, you know, pit bull, and stupid looking guy on earth. And he was their mascot for a while. Spuds McKenzie, the guru of good times. And I think it was them, lately they have one, they show this guy, like, big kind of gross guy holding up a, you know, mug full of foaming Budweiser and saying, you know, why ask why? Right? So when your intelligence starts to see these symptoms in your mind, and you don't want to face the fact or anything else, you know, why these things are happening, okay, just have another Budweiser, fella. And you won't have to think about it anymore. So that's what I would say, that Krishna, he actually takes away the smarnam. He takes away the contemplative ability and on that level and has us contemplate the gross objects. And the gross objects, then he's not manifest very much at all, you know. Although he is, taste of water, you know, fragrance of the earth, but much less. That's my what I would understand.
In the mode of goodness, it says that all the gates are loomed with knowledge. Is that also relating to that you can see according to karma that these thoughts are coming, but it's not actually me, it's the karma, like 14, 22 through 25, the one who's unattached to... you know, list all those things about the different modes of nature, how he's indifferent or neutral to everything coming and going. So he has to be observing that from some other location because he's not in the forest. He's above the forest, so he's seeing the trees. So I was thinking that was relating to once you perceive that these things were coming on their own, what are they coming from? This is Krishna's network of how his different potencies are working. Then you would get to that 1426 Brahma Bhuya Bhagopati. Anyway, that was just a thought I had on that.
No, it's exactly the same thing. Even somebody pointed out the English word understand. Right? You can't understand. As long as you're thinking about it, you can't understand it. So you have to stand under it. You know, you say it has to be a different platform. You know? Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. I agree with you exactly. That's what's happening. And the mirror is becoming more and more clear as we go up like that to Gandharva Loka, Indra Loka, Maharatapa, Jana Loka, Brahma Loka. And finally in Vishuddha Sattva, the mirror is completely clean. And at that point, we can see the spiritual world perfectly. In the mode of pure goodness, we can see the spiritual world perfectly, but we still have to turn around.
Does it, in another place, the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that as long as one's embodied, the desires will still keep coming into the mind from the senses. So that circuitry is still working, but he knows himself to be transcendental, so he doesn't identify with it or get involved with it. So it's still like kind of running in the background. And I was thinking that, like when the acharyas, they leave these wonderful prayers about feeling themselves so lowly, that's because that program is still running. They just don't listen to it. You know, one of the best ways to deal with the mind is to ignore it. So it's still running. It's just not, you don't have to follow it because you have another thing to do, devotional service.
I always remember when we were in up in Grass Valley or wherever it was, you were talking about how, you know, the tendency is to, like you said, you see some, you know, lusty billboard there advertising something, and so your mind says, oh, it looks like Maya. You know, let me check it out. Yep, it's Maya. Well, let me make sure. It's really sure it's Maya. Yep, it's Maya. Okay. What kind of Maya? Well, that kind of Maya. Okay. Okay, I better reject this. So I was noticing that going on in myself, you know. There's a Buddhist phrase. It says, a good horse runs even at the shadow of a whip. So I started remembering you, that phrase, many, many times in my life. Thank you. You know, just the slightest indication of Maya, and whoop, you know, we don't have to check it out and make sure 99% is Maya. We don't have to, you know, if it looks like excrement, we don't have to smell it. You know, if it smells like excrement, we don't have to taste it. Yeah. So that kind of attitude then saves us from taking on board these memories in detail, which will come back to plague us later on, like that. Yeah.
The first look is free. The second one, your indication is some more interest. So now you're generating an effect. So you can also pray from the first one too. You can use that for an opportunity to Udipan, to remember Krishna and reestablish your vow.
Jai.
Maharaj, forgive me for my dullness, but I still don't quite get it. How can you perceive the Supersoul through the actions of thinking, feeling, and willing?
Because it's a purport. I think it's talking about maybe Rishabhdev or something, and he was Nar Narayan. It's like the incarnations. Maybe it'll occur in the second canto. And I probably have it in my notes someplace. Under ABC index, and the devotee pointed it out, and it's where Prabhupada goes through all the different levels of the Sankhya process. I'm not the sense objects, I'm not the senses, I'm not the mind, you know, like that. And so ordinary person, he thinks, yeah, I'm not, he calms down, he realizes I'm not the cause of the automobiles appearing in the street. You know, they appear from the right, they appear from the left. Okay, yeah, I'm not that. You know. But then, an intoxicated person, without being able to look at his mind, he thinks that he's the source of his thoughts. Well, I was thinking. Oh, yeah, I thought about, you know, he identifies with him, and he's very proud of his good thoughts and stuff like that and so on, you know. And so if somebody is on the platform of Bodhi, who's an intelligent person, who's examining the psychic effects, and he comes to the conclusion, I'm not the source of the thoughts. Yeah, so therefore, the individual soul thinks that he's the thinker, but there must be a supreme thinker, you know. And at that point, we're defining the super soul as the supreme thinker, you know, who's over everybody's intelligence, who's over everybody's remembrances. And how much more do we know about him? Well, okay, maybe we don't know that he's eternal, or that yet. You know, but at least we can begin to realize that there has to be a super soul, you know, another soul who's greater than I am, who actually is supplying the thoughts. Is that okay?
It's always okay.
Okay.
Were you thinking of that verse 2:235? The personality God as Sri Krishna is in every living being along with the individual soul. This fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. That purport?
Well, popping right up here on my offline database. That's what I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, 2235. It's just it's such a complete description and meditation of every step in the process. At this point, the second paragraph in that purport says, at this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature, yet we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving, I am doing. Therefore, we must say that our material sense of perception and actions are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body, and that the superior principle of super soul is guiding and supplying us according to our desires. By taking advantage of the super soul in the form of intelligence, we can either continue like that, so on. Yeah. Somewhere down here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And finally, Prabhupada says here, the last purport, this is what we're talking about. Yeah. But the super soul and the individual soul cannot be on an equal level because the super soul gives direction and supplies intelligence, and the individual soul follows the direction. So that's what we begin to perceive. There has to be somebody who, we see this. I give a lecture. Good thoughts come during the lecture. You know, I plan something out. Well, then I did it. I thought it. No, you see, it's coming. It just came. You know? In the last paragraph, Papa says, so far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit, and super spirit. Yeah? Now, if we go to Bhagavad Gita, or the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit, and super spirit, are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at this point, Prabhupada says by introspection, by meditation, by intelligence, one can come to the realization of the super soul. But only by descending knowledge can actually one realize Bhagavan. Sat-chit can be realized, but to realize Bhagavan, then you have to have descending knowledge. You know? So someone like Socrates can feel the presence of the super soul, but super soul is not Bhagavan. You know, super soul is Sat-chit. There's no Ananda. Yeah, you can't have a rasa with the super soul.
What about the manasa rasena, having a rasa? What's the rasa in the manasa rasa? Then the second verse of the Guru Vastaka.
Yeah, second verse.
Mahaprabhu Kirtani.
It's interesting, it's Mahaprabhu, not Mahaprabhu.
Okay, thank you.
No, because the difference is Mahaprabhu means of Mahaprabhu. A subtle thing. Mahaprabho Kirtana. The Kirtana. Kirtana of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabho Kirtana Nritya Gita Varitra Madhyan Manaso Rasena. Yeah. So the mind becomes enlivened by that rasa. But the rasa is not coming from the mental level. You know, it's not coming from the super soul. It's coming from our realization of Mahaprabhu. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam paramatma yam shama sundaram. Because he's got his purified vision, he can see through the super soul, you know, to shama sundar. You can see that the person who's handing you the letter, you know, is Krishna. Somebody else just sees the hand, like that. So there's got to be a hand, somebody connected to the hand, yeah. But who is it? I don't know. But with purified vision, you see through the super soul. The super soul is just the hand of Krishna. Yeah. And so all these things happen with the body playing kartals, with the mind involved in the meter and the accent and the pastimes. And then we go through those to Mahaprabhu. And then our mind becomes enlivened, our senses become enlivened, and every gate becomes illumined with knowledge. You know, when we engage in the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Well,
Maharaj, I know it's
hello? I lost your voice.
I was going to ask one more thing. In that 294 verse where Krishna is talking to Lord Brahma, saying that he's very pleased with his non-deceptive execution of penance in bhakti yoga, that he gave him a benediction. So I was thinking about what aligns, what happens in penance, is that you're recognizing the superiority of somebody who's doing everything. We're not the doer, but you, by becoming subordinate and waiting for their to be pleased with you, for you to understand, they'll give you the understanding, but only under the conditions that of that, you said, non-deceptive penance, because Karmakanda section is kind of deceptive penance. You know, as well as I'm doing it, but I'm really doing it for myself. I'm not really doing it to please you. So on that clearing stage of the
I love you, but what have you done for me lately?
So anyway, I was just relating that as a part of the process of the realization to come out of the mind's condition is this dependence of, and that's executed in the mood of penance of, and establishing or acting in sambandha gyan, in devotional service, that maybe 1, 2, 6 ahoitaki apatiyata.
Yeah, it's not that Krishna's a cruel guy. He wants to see us, you know, torture ourselves, you know. Like you're saying, it's just this is the only condition under which we can, you know, Krishna can be pleased. He'll be pleased with the least possible thing. Aho bhakti yam sanakala kutam, you know. He was pleased with Putana, you know, she offered her breast, like that, covered with arsenic or whatever it was. But, yeah. So like, I agree, it's a wonderful point. You know, but the penance just means that we just put ourselves in the right position to take the sunshine. Like that, and without that, this won't happen. It's not Krishna being cruel. It's just the way things are.
Maharaj, do you?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to take one more question or no?
But one question. We were discussing the volume before. Is the volume okay now?
No, the volume dropped.
Is it okay right now?
It's okay. I was thinking I should mute everybody. Yeah, the volume did drop. It's not so bad.
Yeah, right now I'm talking as close into the microphone as I can on my little Nokia 520 cell phone here.
Do you want to take one last question?
I guess so. I mean, it doesn't embarrass me, I guess, you know. We'll go ahead.
Okay. Harsh Prabhu is asking, he can't talk right now, but he's asking, that the super soul talks to the intelligence, is that correct? If yes, how can he be the source of thoughts?
One time Prabhupada defines the super soul as form direction. You know, form direction from the super soul. He's also, you know, the source, he's also the super soul of all the material elements. Okay, we got that. It's complicated. This is why we do bhakti by bhava, you know, because in Bhagavad Gita you get the basic principles, and without those, how can you go ahead to the next level, you know? Then in the first canto, it's not discussed hardly at all. The second canto and the last two-thirds really gets into a lot of creation and cosmology and like that. And then it's repeated in the third canto in the beginning by Maitreya to Vidura in great detail. And then when Kapila is talking to his son, to his mother, Devahuti, then he also goes into it in pretty elaborate detail, you know. Then after that, I forget, it carries some. But it's a lot of actually, yes, that's what's the surprise, God. It's like a big universe. And so a lot of different levels, you know, which detailed functions are carried out. So reading it, and myself also developing my understanding, Prabhupada calls the Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Shirdakshay Vishnu both super souls. No. But Garbhadakshay Vishnu is a super soul, I think, of all the elements, I mean, the fundamental elements of material nature. He's the soul, the super soul that kind of just is there that makes the whole thing work, you know. And then Shiradakshay Vishnu is the extended super soul that occurs within each individual and each atom. So where are they coming from? So at every level, the super soul is there. And without the super soul, there's no universe. You know? And everything is the Mahatattva, which is intelligence. But then the intelligence gets divided into, you know, mind. The mind is divided into to space. Part of the space becomes color. Part of the color becomes texture. Part of the texture becomes taste, and part of the taste becomes fragrance. So fragrance is just a part of intelligence. You know? So then ultimately the super soul, as time, is evolving all these elements like that. You know? And so he's the source of everything ultimately. You know? But he's perceived, you know, more specifically from this intellectual level. He's less covered. Pretty much that's where he is. You know? If we go beyond that, then we have to come to Mahavishnu. And so with Mahavishnu, there's a possibility of a rasa, Shantaras, like that. And we can stay out of the material world forever then, in Shantaras. So that's what I understand. Harsh is a PhD candidate in Mumbai. He's studying to become a thermonuclear physicist. He's going to make sure that the Chaupati Temple is the first temple to have an ICBM.
That would get a lot of tourists.
You'll give a lot of potency to our book distribution.
Okay, I muted everybody. I'll unmute everybody now. Okay. And thank you.
What is ICBM?
Intercontinental Ballistic Missile.
Oh,
ISKCON is going to be the first church to go nuclear. Then they'll have to listen to us. Take this book or I'll nuke you, fella.
Yeah. Okay, Maharaj, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I hope you can perceive the super soul within my lecture in spite of all our stupidity.
Very nice, Krishna. Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank
you, everyone. Hare Bol.
Hi, I'm going to the show. Hare Bol.
Hi, thank you.